White Ash rolled the bedding, tying it to Stillwater's pack. Her hands tingled ominously from the power of the wolf bundle hidden within. She fought the urge to tremble. Silken filaments of power reached out for her. She pulled back.
No. No, not yet.
I just hope you're not sick. I don't know how to cure a sick dreamer. It's the worry and the dreams. Horrible dreams last night. I don't want to talk about them.
We've had enough horrible dreams.
He nodded, slinging the water-taut gut around his shoulders before picking up the pack.
Well, it's summer. Lots of things to eat. Toadflax is looking good. Maybe we'll make a couple of choppers from quartzite cobbles and use them to dig roots. If not, there's Blazing Star on the slopes, and Cattail to the south along the creek. I'd really like to roast some cattail root in the coals when we camp tonight. They're sweet and rich. Just the thing to make you feel better. We'll do fine.
Oh!
White Ash stood, feeling the fatigue in her legs. Something had happened to her strength. Too much dreaming. It sapped the soul. Stillwater pointed.
Those are the Round Rock Mountains. Larkspur's camp is just on the other side. If it's still there, that is.
Maybe they're still all right.
They started out.
Funny thing. The last time I came this way, it was with Left Hand, going north to find the dreamer. I never dreamed that ever with me coming back. Do you feel well enough to walk that far?
I'll be fine. We'll make it today, Stillwater.
The dream image of his dead body returned to haunt her.
By the one, I hope we will.
The dead mocked her thoughts. Stillwater found Larkspur's body first. The perching turkey vultures led him to the spot, up in the rocks behind Round Rock Camp. As a child, he'd played in this little hollow. Had he turned his head, he could have seen the hole where the snake had bitten his arm. He knelt down next to Larkspur's remains, noting the way her skull had been crushed. The scavengers hadn't left much. Maggots crawled among the old woman's bones, the latter streaked white by bird droppings. The beetles had already begun their work. The stench of rot filled the air, drowning the sweetness of the sagebrush. He stood, looking around. No other corpses. Perhaps the others had lived, had managed to flee.
You know her?
White Ash stood back from the buzzing flies and the odor of decay.
Larkspur.
He lifted his head to the dome of the sky.
Grandmother, may your soul be free and untouched by anger over what has done to you.
Emptiness ached inside him. He stood by White Ash and closed his eyes, seeing his grandmother as she'd been, the tyrannical old ruler of Round Rock.
I should hate her for everything she did, but I can't.
White Ash's face tightened, as if she, too, balanced on the edge of tears. Stillwater led the way down the familiar trail to the lodges. At first, the camp looked the same, although ominously empty. The hard soil had been stippled with rain that blurred the faint impressions of tracks. The lodge entrances had been carefully blocked with large sandstone slabs. The smoke holes, too, had been covered, as had the ventilator shafts.
Sealed? Against what?
He rolled the slab aside and ducked into Bitterbrush's lodge. Everything had been stripped. He stopped, studying the sandstone slabs on the floor. So many storage pits? White Ash blocked the light from the doorway as she followed him in.
They didn't leave much, did they?
This isn't right.
He bent down and lifted one of the heavy slabs. Beneath was a storage pit filled with dried scurf peas.
This wasn't here. There are 5 new pits dug into this floor.
He studied the lodge.
The raiders would have looked under the slabs. What they didn't take, they'd have left for the animals. I don't think Round Rock Clan dug those pits.
The lodges were sealed. Someone's planning to come back.
Huh.
A chill shiver ran up Stillwater's spine. White Ash studied the dried scurf peas.
This was prepared with skill. Whoever did this knew how to leave a cache. I remember drying plants when I was a girl. All the moisture has to be out of them so they don't mold.
Stillwater nodded. The pit walls bore the familiar red stain of a preparation fire.
The pit was fired to harden the walls against rodents. Would some people do that?
White Ash shook her head.
They know how to cure meat and keep berries in fat for winter, but not how to dry plants.
Stillwater resettled the slab to seal the cache.
They're coming back. I don't want them to know anyone was here.
He ducked outside and squinted in the noonday light. All familiar and all different. He studied the camp uneasily, hating the foreboding that filled him.
Look.
White Ash followed his pointing finger. One by one, Stillwater pointed out places where lodges had stood. Here and there, a peg remained that had held a lodge cover.
So many. There must have been tens of people here. More than that.
White Ash had gone pale.
This isn't just raiding. An entire clan came through here. That's why all the new storage pits were dug. For winter supplies.
Broken stones?
Stillwater stared around nervously, aware that someone could be watching even now.
Who else? The journey from the land of the wolf people to here isn't very long. Do you know of another clan on the move?
Let's get out of here. The sooner the better.
He reslung his pack, and they took off at a brisk walk. Trouble followed uneasily, sniffing here and there at his old haunts. A grim desperation possessed Stillwater. He couldn't forget the way Larkspur's body lay in the sagebrush. How long before maggots crawled through his flesh and White Ash's? He glanced at her, praying she could stand up against Brave Man.
Ask her how far it is to the next camp.
Windrunner sat at the rear of his lodge, shaded from the hot sun, as Sage Ghost turned to the Greasewood clan woman who knelt before them with her head bowed and her hands clasped nervously in her lap. She wore a sweat-stained deerhide dress that had been painted once. Now the colors had faded, along with the hopes of her people. Sage Ghost put the question in the Earth People tongue. Aspen sat on Windrunner's left, speculative eyes on the woman. Next to her, Hot Fat rested an arm on a propped knee, his old face pensive. Black Moon sat to Windrunner's right, and beyond him, One Man and Fire Rabbit. The skirts of the lodge had been rolled up to allow air to flow through, but even this late in the day, the warm wind bordered on being uncomfortable. Sage Ghost listened to the woman's answer.
She says Red Earth Camp is a day's walk to the west. Antelope Camp lies a little more than a day and a half to the east. Beyond that is Boggy Meadows Camp. Even more camps lie to the south, all the way to what they call the Silver Snake River. Still more camps lie farther to the west along the Sagegrass River.
Black Moon lifted his head.
It seems that we shall never run out of camps.
He cradled his chin in the palm of his hand.
We have enough women. Three for every warrior. We're getting too many women. That could be dangerous.
Fire Rabbit nodded.
And the country we have to cover gets wider. How far apart can we spread ourselves?
Windrunner gave Aspen a knowing look. She'd told him the night before that such a question was being asked.
What say you, Hot Fat?
I think we found a wonderful land. But now that we have it, what do we do with it? We can't stop. If we do, these other camps will raise the alarm, come to war with us. We have the element of surprise. Each camp has been taken unaware. How can two tens of warriors stand against the numbers we muster? But from here, camps lie in all directions. What do we do?
Black Moon lifted an inquiring eyebrow as he looked to Windrunner for the answer. Windrunner and Aspen had spent the entire night working out a plan. He ran it through his thoughts one last time, seeking any flaw. Finally, he clapped his hands to his knees.
We have to split up.
And lose the advantage of our numbers? That's crazy.
I don't see any choice. I think I know a way to lessen the risks.
Why am I not surprised? Let's hear it.
One Man, I think you should take two tens of the warriors. Sweep west to the Sagegrass River. Fire Rabbit, you take two tens and move south. Coyote Feather can move east. If each of you can surprise the camps, you can take them. Look at how easily we've conquered them so far. There's been almost no resistance.
And how do we handle the women?
You don't, Fire Rabbit. The women aren't the problem. Unlike our women, they don't take part in the fighting. The problem we face is with the men. They could mass and attack us. I don't want to lose any of our warriors. We may need our strength this winter if the Hollow Flute come across the Sideways Mountains.
Kill just the men and leave the women?
Windrunner nodded.
What do you think they'll do? Leave their camps? Maybe. Who cares? They've got to survive this winter. Some will run to the closest camp as soon as you've left. You'll have to move fast, but men can outdistance a woman in a race. As long as we surprise them, we'll take most of the camps.
Hot Fat wasn't yet convinced.
Some of the men will escape. It has to happen. Somewhere, someone will spot our war parties.
But if we can bleed them, weaken them, what choice will those men have? Suppose that 4/10 of their warriors do get together and decide to raid us. How will they fare?
Badly.
Windrunner stared at the ground.
I'm betting on something else. When word does get out, the Earth people will know that we've taken the north. They'll know that we've killed a lot of their warriors and that no one has bloodied us in a fight. Think of the effect that will have on them. They already think their power is broken because of what Sage Ghost tells us happened at their gathering.
And what do you think?
I think, and I'm gambling, that most of them will run. Why try to fight for what is already lost? If I know these Earth people, they'll worry about their lives before they worry about their honor. At the very least, the knowledge that they'll die will weaken their blood if they do decide to come against us.
What about the other 2/10 of Black Point warriors? What happens with them?
They stay with me. We have to guard our main camp. We don't know who's behind us. The best scouts are scouring the trails, but I don't want to be caught by surprise.
And if the Hollow Flute show up on the Badwater or on the Spirit River, do you want to tackle them with only 2/10 of warriors?
If they do show up, I'll send someone to the top of Green Mountain. That's the highest point around. From what the captives say, you can see a fire at the top from anywhere in the Red Earth Basin. If you see a big fire up there some night, come running. During the day, you should be able to see a column of smoke. Keep watch. By the time the Hollow Flute reach us, most of our strength should be assembled here again.
Black Moon nodded, respect in his eyes.
And we'll know where they are, but they won't know where we are.
Exactly. And here's another thing to consider. If the Hollow Flute do appear, we'll have taken many Earth People camps, and all those Earth People women will be without husbands. We can send a runner to the Hollow Flute and make them a gift. Yes, a gift of territory and women. By the power of trade, they'll have to give us something in return. Think about it. What could they give?
Black Moon clapped his hands.
What could they give? Well, they wouldn't dare raid us, not with that much obligation. By Thunderbird, no one has ever given a gift that indebted an entire clan before. Families, yes, but a clan?
Windrunner studied their faces as Black Moon's words sank in. Even Fire Rabbit was grinning.
Tomorrow morning, that will be the time to leave.
Sleep well.
A good night's rest. Sleep
well. Yes. I'll see everyone in the morning.
Talk lasted for a while longer before one man left, followed by Fire Rabbit. Windrunner stood and stretched before offering Aspen his hand. They walked out into the evening. Windrunner looked back at Green Mountain to the north.
I think it'll work.
Aspen took his arm. It's a good plan. And I'm almost sure the Earth people will run rather than fight. It's in their nature. They're not warriors. Windrunner nodded and lifted her chin with his finger to stare into the depths of her dark eyes.
I don't know what I ever did without you. I'm starting to believe that no one can stand against us.
I don't think they dare.
Windrunner and Aspen followed the sounds and met a travel-worn snail shell as he came panting into camp. Sweat had streaked the dust that coated his body in breech clout, but he clutched his weapons in a death grip. Scratches from the sagebrush formed a crisscross pattern on his legs. The snail shell tattoos in the man's cheeks contrasted to his dark, flushed skin. He met Windrunner's measuring gaze and nodded.
Looks like you've been running.
Windrunner eyed the warrior, a cold premonition making his stomach churn. Aspen had laced her fingers into his. Now her grip tightened.
I have.
Snailshell walked around to cool down and catch his breath.
Hollow Flute.
Snailshell took a water sack offered by one man as the war leader arrived and drank deeply before shaking his head.
No, Windrunner. I saw a man and a woman.
You ran all the way back here because you saw a man and a woman?
I thought Hot Fat would want to know that a powerful dreamer is coming. I saw her call the animals. I tell you, they walked surrounded by birds and antelope and coyotes. An eagle came down to circle around their heads.
Windrunner rubbed his chin thoughtfully.
Spirit people? Do they wear Earth people clothing?
The man did. The woman dressed in the manner of the wolf people, with pants and a short shirt. They're back there.
Snail Shell jerked his head to the north.
Maybe a day's journey. They are headed right for us.
Maybe we'd better go see what Hot Fat has to say.
And tomorrow?
If it's a real dreamer, Hot Fat will be of more use than all of our warriors.
This is the last time I'll ask you.
Brave Man smiled down at the bound Blackpoint warrior.
Where is your clan? Where are Windrunner and his woman?
The wounded warrior glared up stonily. His teeth remained tightly clamped, the muscles standing out on his sweaty jaws. Brave Man looked around at the broken stones, who watched with excited eyes, then cocked his head at the man. A wicked dart wound discolored the warrior's swollen leg, clotted blood streaking the skin. In the process of dragging him back, the wound had caked with sand and dirt.
Put his feet in the fire.
Brave Man took a last look at the man.
Or would you prefer to tell me?
The Black Point shut his eyes. Brave Man looked at Flying Hawk.
Do it.
Two warriors grabbed the struggling captive and hauled him to the smoldering embers of last night's fire. Longbone tossed more brush onto the coals. The warrior's moccasins smoked and curled, blackening as the heat ate into the thick leather. He bucked.
Where?
Brave Man limped over to stare down into the man's glazed eyes.
Where?
Sweat beaded as Longbone and Five Darts pinned him.
South! In the name of Thunderbird!
Brave Man made a gesture, and his men dragged the captive from the flames.
Where in the south?
Brave Man bent down, peering closely.
South of Green Mountain! In the Red Earth Basin! 2 days' walk!
Beyond Green Mountain.
He studied the southern horizon, noting the rounded caps of granite that blocked the view. 2 days' walk? For his camp, burdened as it was with the old and children, it would take four.
Break camp!
Brave Man stalked toward his lodge, Pale Raven keeping step with him.
And the Black Point warrior?
Leave him, bound, just as he is.
Her dark eyes locked with his for a moment, and she nodded. With an infected wound and burned feet, the bound man wouldn't last more than a day. The coyotes could finish him. Even Pale Raven shivered at the thought. Windrunner lunged to his feet, ducked under the low flap of his lodge, and ran out into the graying morning light. Aspen followed him. Here and there, men poked their heads out of their lodges, looking around. The camp seemed peaceful. Tendrils of smoke rose from the fire pits. The rounded mounds of Greasewood Camp's earthen lodges huddled against the morning. Cottontail came running into camp, a hand to her breast, a stricken look on her face.
What is it?
He grabbed her by the shoulders as she ran up to him. He could feel her panicked trembling.
Hot Fat! Out there! In the sagebrush! Dead!
What? Aspen reached for the woman. Windrunner shot a worried glance at Aspen.
Show me.
Cottontail shook her head. Aspen took her by the hand.
Cottontail, come on, I'll be with you. He's my grandfather. Maybe he's just soul flying. Maybe he's...
Aspen and Cottontail walked back into the sage, Windrunner to one side. He could see Aspen's pale face. His own heart had gone heavy in his breast. Hot Fat, dead? He shook his head in disbelief. Cottontail stopped. Hot Fat lay face down on the soft, sandy ground at the base of the flat-topped butte that sheltered the camp. Sagebrush rose knee-high all around him, its silver-green contrasting sharply with the soul flyer's golden-brown clothing. Aspen shuddered, and Windrunner hugged her to him. Her shoulders shook. People closed around them to stare at the body. Windrunner patted Aspen on the back, then broke free in order to bend down and inspect Hot Fat's body. The top of the old man's head had been bashed in. Windrunner fought down the urge to scream his pain to the heavens. This lump of lifeless flesh had first offered the warm hand of friendship, and it had grown to something precious between them. Another warm love had been torn away from his soul, like sagebrush twisted from dry ground.
I'd come to love you, old friend. And now you too are gone.
Hot Fat's breech clout was undone, as if he'd squatted to relieve himself. Windrunner turned, seeing only scuffed tracks, obliterated by the people clustering around them. He searched the ground. On the other side of the sagebrush, he found two smudges on the hard soil, as if a man had stood on tiptoes to smash the blow down.
Who would have done this?
Blue Wind, cut for tracks. Quickly, before we trample them all.
Windrunner pointed.
The rest of you don't move another step until we scout.
Blue Wind jerked a nod and slipped out of the crowd. Windrunner struggled to keep the grief at bay and think.
Did anyone hear anything, see anything?
People looked back and forth uneasily and shook their heads.
We have many enemies.
Black Moon stepped forward and bent down. Sadness glistened in his eyes.
Maybe we missed one of the Earth People's warriors. Maybe it was one of the captive women.
He ate with us last night. It must have happened sometime after that.
Aspen knelt, struggling against tears. Heedless of the blood, she gently cradled her grandfather's head on her lap. Windrunner bent down and fingered the coagulated pool of dark scarlet on the sand. Then he touched the old man's flesh, stone cold.
Whoever it was is long gone, but that doesn't mean he won't come back. For the time being, we hunt the night and guard ourselves better.
Cottontail shook her head.
To kill a soul flyer? I hope whoever did this is ready to meet Thunderbird. Hot Fat's soul will return for him.
Windrunner thought back to the day that he'd faced one man, the day Hot Fat had spoken for him. How many nights since then had he and the old soul flyer talked and laughed and shared their souls? He stood up and waved a hand harshly.
Snail Shell, take some men and spread out. Double the lookouts on the hills.
Stillwater shielded his eyes, staring down into the flats. Even from here, he could see the lazy spirals of smoke rising from Greasewood Camp. More smoke than Nightshade's clan would make. He glanced up at the flat-topped butte that threw a long shadow over the camp. Layers of white dirt separated by sandstone gleamed in the morning light, while sage and rabbit brush speckled the slopes on the logical place for lookouts. And if that were the case... Unease gnawed at his heart. He turned to White Ash.
This way.
He pointed at a sage-dotted conical hill just before them. The low mound appeared to be capped by white clay and scattered chert cobbles.
And then what?
White Ash hurried behind him. Trouble followed.
Dream. Dream the animals, you must.
Why?
Those aren't Earth people. We're going to have to make them think we have more power than it seems.
They reached the top of the hill and looked down over the flat. Stillwater saw several figures headed their way at a trot.
Dream, White Ash, dream now.
White Ash dropped to the sand, placing her hands in her lap. She closed her eyes. Stillwater lowered himself beside her. He narrowed his concentration, seeking to ignore the fear that pumped with each beat of his heart. Perspiration shone on White Ash's forehead. The warriors could be seen clearly now, trotting up the sage-thick slope toward them. How much longer did he and White Ash have?
Wolfdreamer, help me. I need to call the animals.
The weight of Stillwater's pack pulled viciously on his shoulders.
If I don't ignore it, a dart is going to get me.
He cleared his mind. The weight of the pack seemed to grow even. Then it occurred to him.
The wolf bundle.
He shrugged out of the pack and undid the laces with frantic fingers. He grasped the bundle and a lightning burst of power shot up his arm. The very air seemed to prickle, and White Ash steadied, some of the desperation draining from her taut face. Below, the warriors pointed. Stillwater knew when White Ash touched the one. The wolf bundle surged with a power so violent he almost dropped it. He could sense the bundle's threads of power snaking out toward White Ash. A black wolf wove a sinuous path through the pale green stands of sagebrush. It peered at White Ash with gleaming yellow eyes as though waiting. Stillwater's heart leaped when a wolf padded to stand between him and White Ash, so close he could feel the animal's whiskers brushing his hide pants. A meadowlark landed on top of Stillwater's head. A badger eased out of the brush. The one pulsed. Stillwater's soul leaped in ecstasy. The warriors stopped several dart lengths away, observing in stunned disbelief.
Call to them!
The command settled in Stillwater's soul.
White Ash, tell them we come in peace.
One of the warriors balanced a dart for casting.
White Ash, I don't speak their language.
She shook herself out of the dream, and the animals fled in a rush. The warriors below covered their heads against the exploding flock of birds. One man fell to the ground.
What? What did you say?
Tell them we bring a dream, that we will not hurt them.
Brothers of the Sun, we bring a dream. We bring a dream for your people. We bring no harm to you.
As her voice rang out, the warriors glanced back and forth uncomfortably. The lead warrior edged toward them, climbing the slope cautiously. A dart knocked in his atlatl. His men followed nervously. Stillwater felt White Ash stiffen as the warrior drew closer. When the man stood no more than 10 paces away, he halted, an awestruck expression on his face. Young and handsome, he moved with a powerful grace and balance. His hair had been pulled into a high roach. 3 blue lines had been tattooed across his forehead. His mouth opened.
White Ash?
Stillwater turned to her and found her staring open-mouthed at the young warrior.
Windrunner?
Disbelief mixed with the swirling fragments of dream. She blinked and rubbed her face. Was this real, or something conjured from the One? He stepped closer, older than she remembered him, harder. In the bright light, she traced the lines of his familiar face. Her heart skipped as she looked into the wonder that filled his eyes.
White Ash, you're alive!
She rose on unsteady feet and waited until Stillwater stood beside her before walking forward and embracing Windrunner. He hugged her as tightly as he had that night above the White Clay's last camp.
I thought you were dead. I'd given up hope. White Ash, who is this man?
She pushed away from Windrunner, blinking at the tears that had come to cloud her vision.
Stillwater, this is Windrunner.
Stillwater clutched the wolf bundle to his chest and gave the warrior a curious appraisal. Windrunner's face had turned hard.
What are you doing here? Why were the animals around you? What's going on?
White Ash closed her eyes, trying desperately to shake the serene nothingness of the One so she could think clearly.
These are Black Point?
We are.
She nodded, a spring of relief sprouting within. At least she didn't have to face Brave Man.
Let's go to your camp, Windrunner. We have a lot to discuss and not much time.
And this man?
White Ash saw Stillwater straighten, his flat features pulling tight.
He's the keeper of the wolf bundle.
She glanced up at Windrunner, then turned and extended a hand to Stillwater. He braced the wolf bundle against his chest with his bad arm and stepped forward to take her hand.
And he's my husband.
The words burned Windrunner like white-hot coals on exposed flesh. He turned, muscles charged, and looked at Snail Shell.
Go back to the camp. Have food prepared. We must have a council.
And this Earth People man?
Snailshell glanced uneasily at Stillwater.
He will come with us, for the moment.
Windrunner turned back to White Ash, seeing her confusion. Then he inspected the Earthman again. One arm looked shriveled and useless. The man stood squat, and his face conjured thoughts of manure that had been stepped on. Only in the eyes did Windrunner see anything noteworthy. Stillwater's eyes reflected a soul too kind for its own good. What could she possibly see in him? Windrunner shook his head and gave the man a foul glare. Stillwater replaced the leathery object in the pack. The man's obnoxious black and white dog stared up with wary eyes. Windrunner turned on his heel.
I'll marry you. Be your wife.
The Black Point have taken all the land to the south.
White Ash ran to match his pace. Her voice sent shivers through his soul.
I said I'd come for you before the first snow.
White Ash walked in silence for a moment.
Things have changed.
I can see.
She placed a hand on his arm.
Can you?
He glanced down at her slim fingers resting on the rippling muscles in his arm, then looked into her eyes. And the world shifted, as if his soul had been exposed. He swallowed and shook his head. Cool wariness seeped through him.
What did...
You've changed, Windrunner. Become a man. But I know your soul and your anger, and the hurt that will soon replace it.
She gazed off toward the camp, a bittersweet smile on her full lips.
So much has happened since you left the White Clay.
With him?
Windrunner jerked his head back toward Stillwater, who followed nervously. White Ash read his meaning.
Yes! He saved my life more than once, and even faced Brave Man and his broken stones in the process.
Him? He looks as if he'd run if a rabbit squealed at him.
Her beautiful face took on such a sad expression that a shiver wound through him. An eerie prickle of power swirled in the air around her. Unconsciously, he walked a half a step farther away.
I feel that she knows more than I do, sees things I don't. White Ash, my White Ash, what's happened to you?
He steeled himself.
I looked all over for you. Three Forks, Badwater, every place I could think of. What happened?
The wolf people killed the White Clay. I fled.
I know. Sage Ghost is with us.
The announcement didn't bring the ecstatic joy he'd expected. Instead, she simply accepted the information with a knowing nod. He peered at her from the corner of his eye.
What's wrong with you, White Ash? Did that ugly earth man cast some spell on you? Is that it? He's a magician?
Only this morning, they had placed hot fat on a high point and sung his soul to Thunderbird.
Do you know that Brave Man has crushed the wolf people and that even now he's in the basin?
What?
Yes. I thought we'd find him before we met you. He's become the Broken Stones' soul flyer, and a powerful one.
Broken Stones? Here?
His gaze swept the sage-covered hills, seeking any movement. Only the breeze through the brush and a hopping cottontail caught his eye.
He's coming. Swiftly.
And I just sent 3/4 of my warriors away.
She continued walking, unaware that he'd stopped short. Windrunner darted after her.
Have you seen Hollow Flute, too?
Not here. But it wouldn't surprise me. The spiral is shifting.
What spiral?
She looked up at him as if he were a child.
I have to dream the spiral back, Windrunner. That's why power sent me to you. The Sun People must become part of First Man's dream. If not, the spiral would change and Brave Man will dream the new way. Would you want to live in a dream of his making?
He glanced back suspiciously at Stillwater. The man hoisted his pack higher on his back and trudged resolutely behind White Ash. But he looked as though his mother had just died. Windrunner walked in silence. Too much had fallen on him too quickly. First Hot Fat's murder. The grief hadn't even sunk in yet. Then White Ash's appearance. Broken Stones, Brave Man, dreams, and Aspen. Blessed Thunderbird, what was he going to tell her? Her heart had already been broken by her grandfather's death. He stamped on, fists knotting as they approached the camp.
What about us?
Us?
She blinked curiously.
I'll always love you, Windrunner.
The confusion took another twist. Aspen said she'd step aside.
And this Earthman?
She cocked her head, looking puzzled.
He's the keeper of the wolf bundle. He's my husband.
Wait, you just said you'd always love me.
I will.
But this Stillwater is your husband?
Of course.
Let's get one thing straight. I don't intend on sharing you. I don't know what kind of spell he's cast on you, but I'll break it. He won't live in our lodge. In fact, he'd better get...
I can't love you in that way.
White Ash, I don't understand. What are you talking about?
You're bound up in illusion, Windrunner. But that's to be expected. The way has to be dreamed for the Sun People.
People crowded the edge of the camp as they approached through the waist-high sage. Aspen stepped out in front of the gathering, the sun gleaming in her long hair and glinting from the bone beads tied to the fringes of her hem. She stood numbly, inspecting White Ash and Stillwater, before searching Windrunner's face, grief in her bright eyes.
Windrunner?
Aspen's voice twisted his soul. He halted before her, a painful tearing in his heart. She clasped his hands to her breast.
What is it? Who are these people?
This is White Ash.
Aspen's eyes went wide as she searched his, seeking some reassurance. Windrunner's soul had turned to wood, unfeeling, senseless. As he watched helplessly, wretched understanding grew in her. Her eyes glazed as she stared into his and dropped his hands. Then Aspen turned to White Ash.
Welcome to the Black Point.
With those words, she turned quickly and shouldered her way through the gaping people. Windrunner closed his eyes. Sage Ghost broke from the crowd and took a cautious step, arms half raised.
White Ash?
Hello, Father. Oh, I've missed you so much.
Windrunner braced his feet against the churning sickness in his gut. What had happened to his life? Aspen's tortured look had seared something in his soul. Black Moon stepped forward.
You are the woman who calls the animals?
Through stumbling confusion, Windrunner watched White Ash pull free of Sage Ghost's embrace and stride to stand before the clan leader.
Yes, I call the animals. You are Black Moon? I am White Ash of the White Clay.
She pointed a finger at Sage Ghost.
This man is my father. My husband and I would claim a place among your clan.
Black Moon shook his head slowly.
This man, Sage Ghost, is White Clay. He is not of our clan.
She turned, and Windrunner opened his mouth, shaking his head. White Ash's words hammered at him.
Then my husband and I would place our claim because this man, Windrunner, is my cousin. He has told me that he is Blackpoint.
No.
Windrunner staggered forward.
What are you doing? You know why I went to the Blackpoint.
He reached out with imploring hands.
Is she your cousin? If she is Sage Ghost's daughter and he is your uncle, then she must be.
White Ash, why are you doing this?
She reached up and ran warm fingers down the side of his face.
Because I must dream, Windrunner. Otherwise the spiral will change. Brave man will win if I don't face him.
His jaw quivered under her touch.
Do you deny her?
Windrunner's thoughts remained blank.
Black Moon? Would the clan listen to Sage Ghost's advice?
You always have a voice among us.
Sage Ghost propped his hands on his hips and lifted his chin.
I look at White Ash and see a woman I almost don't know. Years ago, power led me to steal White Ash from the Earth people. I've seen the look of power before. It's in her eyes. She talks of a dream. Only this morning we placed our soul flyer's body in a high place and sang his soul up into the sky for Thunderbird.
Sage Ghost gave the surrounding people thoughtful study.
I don't know the ways of power, but a soul flyer was taken from us. Now another has arrived. We've all heard the warriors, heard Snail Shell, whom we trust. White Ash and this man of hers called the animals. Only when the warriors arrived did the animals flee. Perhaps her request should be granted by the Black Point. I have spoken.
Windrunner?
Windrunner licked his dry lips, struggling to know what was right. He turned to White Ash, probing her shining eyes.
You don't want to be my wife?
She placed gentle hands on his shoulders.
Windrunner, I can't. I must dream. Otherwise, all is lost.
She is my cousin.
He forced his way through the crowding people, heedless of their stares. In dumb misery, he stalked from the camp. Stillwater watched the anguish in Windrunner's face, understanding the decision that had been made. Instead of the relief he'd expected, the man's hurt pained him. For White Ash, Windrunner had left the White Clay. Now, all that he'd accomplished for her had come tumbling down around him. People began to break away and filter back into the camp. Stillwater stuck close to White Ash.
What's happening?
But White Ash talked earnestly with the big man who seemed to be the leader.
Council.
The man looked Stillwater up and down.
White, I said you are her husband.
Stillwater experienced a slimy sensation in the pit of his stomach as he looked into those hard eyes. Who was this powerful warrior? With his broad shoulders, he looked like he could turn a mountain upside down. Then the man's meaning sank in. White Ash had called him her husband. Stillwater cocked his head. Somehow, the thought just hadn't crossed his mind. It comforted him.
She is my wife.
The burly warrior inspected him as if he were a moldy green buffalo quarter.
What does she see in a man as ugly as you? You have only one arm.
Stillwater straightened proudly. What cursed business was it of his?
I am the keeper of the wolf bundle, and I am the protector of the dreamer. If you have other questions, I suggest you ask them of power.
I do not question power.
He spun and followed the others toward a large lodge. The skirts had been rolled up to admit the breeze. In the center of the camp, Greasewood Camp's earth lodges looked orphaned and alone. Stillwater trotted after the warrior.
Where did you learn the tongue of the people? You speak well.
You wonder why a man would ask what White Ash sees in you? It's my right, Earthman. I learned Earth people talk from her. She's my daughter.
Stillwater stopped and stared.
Sage Ghost?
The warrior crossed his arms, muscles bulging. He studied Stillwater through glinting eyes.
I am Sage Ghost.
When we have time, I would like to talk to you. White Ash has told me many wonderful stories of you and Bright Moon.
Some of Sage Ghost's hostility ebbed. He blinked and lowered his eyes.
Perhaps later, around the dinner fire.
Stillwater, come, sit with me.
He nodded respectfully to Sage Ghost and went forward. The last of the eight leaders seated themselves inside the lodge.
Why have you come here?
White Ash looked around the lodge. Under the rolled-up skirts, she could see more people trotting up and crowding behind the other spectators, eager to listen. White Ash sat cross-legged, back straight, hands folded. Stillwater sat beside her, his dark eyes wide and wary. The pack with the wolf bundle rested in his lap.
I have come to dream the new way.
New way? We don't need a new way.
You just don't understand what's happening. Everything has come apart. The Sun People have changed the spiral.
And what is this spiral?
Black Moon looked up at his wife, makes room. The woman shrugged.
Life. All that is and is not.
Your soul flies to the camp of the dead? You can do that? Call Thunderbird?
The sensation of flight lingered at the edge of her memory.
I have flown as one with Thunderbird. Thunderbird is First Man, and the Wolf Dreamer. That is what I have come to teach you. The woman who was White Ash died in the Grey Deer River. This man, Stillwater, pulled me out of the icy water. Together we went to retrieve the wolf bundle. Stillwater faced the Brokenstone Soulflyer, Brave Man, and we escaped. High in the Sideways Mountains, the Earth People's healer Singing Stones taught me how to dream. The wolf bundle showed me the way to the One. It is with the dream that I must face Brave Man when he comes here.
Broken Stones are coming here?
Black Moon shot a look at Snail Shell. The warrior shook his head fearfully.
They come. 2 days from now they will be here. If I don't defeat Brave Man, the dream of First Man dies. Harmony will cease. The Black Point will be destroyed. Brave Man will find the wolf bundle and change the spiral. The animals will be caged. The land will be butchered. I must dream the new way.
Black Moon leaned forward, his jaw clenched.
How many are coming?
All of their clan.
Snail Shell slammed a fist into the dirt floor.
We can't get our warriors back here by then. It will take a day to climb Green Mountain. And how long for the parties to...
Warriors will not solve this.
White Ash could feel the power of the wolf bundle where it lay in the pack, cradled tightly against Stillwater's stomach.
This is a matter for dreamers. For Brave Man and me, we must dream the future.
You will face this soul flyer alone?
Stillwater and I will face him together.
Is Stillwater a warrior?
White Ash turned to look at Sage Ghost, who squatted behind her.
He is the strongest man power could find. The Wolf Bundle called him, tested him, and Stillwater won the honor to become the Keeper of the Bundle.
She laid a warm hand on Stillwater's knee. Her husband gave her a reassuring glance, although he was lost in the incomprehensible babble of Sun Talk.
And what is this Wolf Bundle? Why have I never heard of it?
It was the power of the Wolf People before Brave Man stole it.
She turned to Stillwater.
Our dream begins. They would know the power of the Wolf Bundle.
Stillwater's grip tightened on the pack. He searched her eyes and wiped his hand on his pant leg to clean it before he undid the thongs. He closed his eyes, reaching inside reverently. The power of the Wolf Bundle flowed through the air. She could trace the path of it up Stillwater's arm, feel it as it expanded his soul. Stillwater lifted the Wolf Bundle from the pack. The Council Lodge went silent. Power sought White Ash's soul, and she blocked it, fearing what had happened to Singing Stones. She tried to drown herself in the world, taking in the hot, sage-scented air. With all her will, she struggled. Sweat beaded on her brow. She clamped her teeth until her jaw ached.
I'm too close. Ugh.
Stillwater raised the bundle to the cloudless sky.
Wolf Bundle, now is the time for you to use your power. I flew on the wings of Thunderbird. Tell Thunderbird to send a sign. A sign that First Man and Thunderbird are one.
People whirled to stare at the clear, pale blue sky. A few ran out across the desert, going to high points to search the heavens.
He called Thunderbird. That's what he said in the Earth People tongue.
Stillwater replaced the bundle in the pack. White Ash slumped, sweat running down her face. Fragments of the One whirled within her, calling to her, extending fiery golden hands. Stillwater's fingers tightened over hers.
Are you all right? What happened?
She grinned weakly at him.
The Wolf Bundle calls. It would fill me with its power and the craving for the One. Next time, I'll sit further from you.
Sander! Did you hear it? And not a cloud in the sky!
Apprehension grew in Black Moon's eyes.
How do we know you haven't come to destroy us? Perhaps this power you bring is evil. You come with an Earthman, an enemy of the Black Point. You yourself came from the Earth People.
If I had wanted the Black Point dead, I would have given myself to Brave Man long ago. And today the Black Point would be as much a memory as the White Clay.
I have only your word for it. I would rather have Hot Fats.
I have heard of him. He's a good man. I would welcome his wisdom.
A strained silence fell on the camp.
He's dead. 2 days ago, he was murdered. What's wrong?
Someone murdered their soul flyer.
Murder? Singing Stones warned us. Someone's killing the dreamers. Some evil power we don't understand? Or is it a person? Some witch we haven't discovered yet?
You've brought me this far. I know you. You'll keep me safe.
Stillwater put a comforting hand on her forearm and squeezed. Sage Ghost scrutinized Stillwater with a curious mixture of disbelief and unease. His brows knit in that old expression White Ash knew so well, the one he adopted when presented with a problem he didn't really want to find the answer for. She turned her attention back to Black Moon.
Are we welcome in your clan?
Black Moon looked around, reading the faces.
I think we would rather that you had never come among us. But you are here. If your prophecy of the Broken Stones is correct, then they have eluded or killed my scouts to the north. If there is to be a battle between dreamers, I would wish that it happened somewhere far from the Black Point. I would also hear the counsel of Windrunner and Aspen before I offer my opinion. This should not be decided in haste.
White Ash studied Black Moon, aware that the clan leader fidgeted under her knowing glance.
The Black Point are lucky to have a leader of your wisdom. Stillwater and I will rest. Tomorrow we must prepare. Your warriors will find the Broken Stones coming through the gap in Green Mountain tomorrow night. The night after that, Stillwater and I will face Brave Man.
Black Moon didn't look reassured. Peering inside herself, White Ash found her own fear, one as desperate as Black Moon's. Windrunner sat on the crest of a dune west of the camp, pouring sand from one hand to the other. The brush-covered hills gleamed with a lavender sheen in the fires of sunset. The dune field stretched as far as the eye could see. Who would have thought country like this would be so rich in foods? The air smelled sweet here, laden with the odors of sage and greasewood. White patches of hard clay lay cracked and dry where water had stood at the end of the spring melt. Moisture remained but a memory, vanished like his hopes for White Ash.
Who is this woman who walked out of the desert? The penetrating look that fills her eyes, where did it come from? And who is this homely, one-armed man she calls husband? What gives him his hold over her? Now I've lost her. I agreed to be her cousin again.
He let the sand trickle through his fingers, the way hope trickled from his soul. He knew those steps. For the past few weeks, he'd even heard them in his dreams. He couldn't bring himself to look up.
Windrunner.
He stared vacantly at the sand between his feet. His fingers had traced angry lines through it. Aspen sat down next to him, silent, waiting.
I feel like a fool.
I'm sorry. I know how your soul longed for her.
He made himself meet her worried gaze. Love and sorrow reflected in Aspen's eyes, bruised by his distress.
It's my fault. I should have listened to my soul that night at the White Clay Camp. I searched, and all I found was emptiness. It was the power speaking within me, and I ignored it. Today, a stranger returned to my life.
People change, especially when power touches them.
It's that Earthman. He has a hold on her. Maybe if I kill him...
I don't think so. I've slipped around behind Black Moon's lodge to listen to the council. White Ash speaks with her own power, not Stillwater's, though he has a power of his own. You heard the thunder? That was his doing. He called it with a bundle he carries. I think...
Go on.
I think both of them have powers unlike anything we've ever seen.
I still love her. I'd give anything to turn her back.
Windrunner, I don't think you can. Even if you killed her husband, little would change. She doesn't belong to him. She belongs to power. You can feel it when you hear her talk. And if she's right, nothing matters but power. Not your love for her, not her husband. Nothing but the battle ahead.
What are you talking about?
The day after tomorrow, she says she must face the Soul Flyer of the Broken Stones. She says he's the real danger. He's bringing a new dream that may destroy the Black Point, may change something she calls the Spiral. The way she spoke sent fear through me. She says if she doesn't stop this Soul Flyer, this brave man... What's the matter?
I know, brave man. If he's really become a dreamer... Thunderbird, help us all. I didn't mean for any of this to happen. I wouldn't have hurt you.
She rubbed a fidgety hand along her shin while the breeze flipped long strands of hair over her shoulders.
What about you and me? What about now? Do you want me to move back into my home?
She closed her eyes against the pain. Windrunner took her in his arms. Such a beautiful woman. So fragile now, with the death of her grandfather still an unhealed wound in her soul.
I didn't mean for any of this to happen. I wouldn't have hurt you.
I know. I meant it when I said the most important thing for me was that you find your happiness. I'll leave. You mustn't worry about that.
A moment of twisting doubt ate at him. What should he tell her? Could he live without those long nights of shared thoughts? She loosened herself from his grip and stood, brushing the sand from her dress.
Choose your happiness, Windrunner. You owe me nothing. What has happened between us is no thong to bind you. We lived by the day, and I accepted that. Be honest with yourself.
Let me know your decision.
She turned then, walking away through the sagebrush, her back straight, her step proud. Windrunner clamped his eyes shut, as if by doing so he could squeeze the indecision from his soul.
What if I can change White Ash? Bring her back. She said she still loves me.